Psalm 22, verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Thank you. You can be seated. This 22nd Psalm is 3,000 years old. And 1,000 years before Jesus dies on the cross, Jesus even quotes this psalm from the cross. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't just saying that, he was quoting this psalm. But why should we be amazed that he quoted the word of God? He was the word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. So here he is now dying on the cross, referring to this psalm. And what he's saying is I'm fulfilling this psalm. It's coming to pass before your very eyes. The thing about it, as you look at this, I recently did a study on it, and I saw one gentleman, I read the account. He says there's 31 prophecies fulfilled in this one psalm alone concerning the life and death of Jesus Christ. 31 prophecies in one psalm alone, and it was prophesied 1,000 years before he came. Now that's staggering. But out of all of the things that's there, when Jesus, this is making reference to Christ, when Jesus on the cross refers to himself as being a worm and no man, I could hardly grasp that with my mind. But when you start to really study about what the worm is, then it's easy to understand why he said that. The word worm here in your Bible in the Hebrew is different than the word that's used for worm in other places in your Bible. The word worm here is pronounced tola, T-O-W-L-A. And really, it looks more like a grub than a worm. But it's referred to as the crimson worm. It's a specific worm. It comes from a group, a category of worms that's out of the origin of Kermes biblica, which means that they were known to climb up on Kermes oak trees, and they would die on those trees with a distinct purpose. It was the female worm that she only gave birth to children one time because she died to birth a family. Now, if you just came to camp meeting to sit and not think, you're in trouble tonight. But as I studied about this particular worm, the crimson worm, here's some things that I found out about it. One thing is at the exact time that's appointed, it's like God has put a time clock inside of them. They climb up on the tree all by themselves. Nobody encourages them. Nobody makes them. It's just inside of them at the right time to get up on the tree. Can I remind you, at the perfect time, God sent his son at the exact time that God had ordained. And in the fullness of time, nobody made Jesus do it, but love inside his heart for each one of us said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on the cross all by myself. They didn't have to worry about Jesus going to the cross. That's what he came to do. He knows that worm, she knows when she gets on that tree that she's not going to come down alive. She's going to die to give birth to her family. When Jesus went to that tree we call the cross, he went for one purpose. He knew that he was going to birth a family. So here's what that worm does. It gets up on the tree by itself, and the first thing it does, it attaches itself to the tree. Now, we talk a lot about the nails that they drove in his hands and in his feet. I know that was physical, but the truth of the matter is he could have called 10 million angels and they would have swept down with flaming swords and delivered him from the curse of mankind. But glory to God, I'm glad he didn't do it. It wasn't nails that held him to a tree. It was love that held Jesus to the tree. Could we think the ocean feel with a world of parchment made, where every man is scribed by trade to write the love of God alone, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. love. Oh, love of God. The love that is responsible for this plan of redemption. Once it is attached to the tree, it attaches itself to the tree for one purpose, to lay its eggs. And once the eggs are laid, with it being firmly attached to the tree, then it knows the babies are safe. That's our shelter, friend. I'm telling you, if you're under the blood, that's all that you need. You're safe. Jesus taught it to us. The word of God has fulfilled it all the way back to the time of this being the time that we recognize as Holy Week, Passover Week. And it is the time where we recognize that when the children of Israel were in bondage, God gave them a command and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost, on the lintel, and even down on the threshold. He sealed the doorway in blood. And he said, I'm going to pass through the lamb land. It wasn't the death angel that passed through. It was the Lord that passed through. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Your only shelter tonight in the time of storm is the blood of the lamb, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. The amazing thing is, for 3 days, that mother secretes a crimson dye. That's why it's called the crimson worm. The babies are inside and it stains them crimson red. The red the rest of their life. All of her children are covered with red blood. I'm about to preach tonight. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good fella. I've tried to do a few good things. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So powerful is that red dye that it stains the tree and marks the tree. They say you can look on the oak trees and see where the Kermes trees have been stained by crimson worms that have died to birth a family. Thank God you'll never take away the message of the cross and the power of the blood. That blood stained the cross for you and I. And without the message of the cross, we have absolutely nothing to preach. For 3 days. 3 days. While that's crimson red, they try to harvest this worm. They try to harvest it for a purpose. They have 3 days to get that worm off the tree to get the crimson for dye to be used. That's why they know so much about it. But you know, it's an amazing thing. That dye, do you know what they did with that dye? It was used for two things we know for sure, and actually more than that. If you go back and read in Scripture, for example, when a leper went through the process of being cleansed, they not only used the live bird, the dead bird, but they used hyssop and they used scarlet. Everywhere you read scarlet, it's talking about the dye that came from the crimson worm. So the dye cleansed of leprosy, a picture of sin. Glory to God. When a house was unclean, they needed that. When it came time to sanctify the house of God, they needed a red heifer, and among other things, they not only needed the blood of the heifer, but they had to have hyssop. That's called the faith plant. And they had to have the faith plant. And they took the faith plant with the crimson dye, and they took the blood and sprinkled it to the cleansing. It was used also for the garments of the high priest. That was the scarlet color that was in the high priest's garments. It was used to dye the curtains that were in the tabernacle and the temple. They wanted that dye because nothing else could produce that scarlet color. Nothing else would remain. All the other things they'd try to use, it would fall short and it wouldn't last. But I'm here to tell you, it's been 2,000 years now, but the blood of Jesus Christ is just as powerful tonight as it was 2,000 years ago when they stood at Pentecost and preached the message that this Jesus, which you have crucified, he is the same one that rose from the grave. There is still power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Something amazing happens though. On the fourth day, that worm, if it's left attached, on the fourth day, it turns to like wax. Now this is almost too good to be true, but I know some of you are going to go Googling it. It's okay. Everybody wants to preach this sermon now. On the fourth day, they can't explain why, it turned snow white. He died. And hurriedly they took him off the cross. They wrapped his body and put him in the tomb where no man had ever laid. 3 days, those linens that wrapped his body were stained with red. But on that glorious first resurrection morn, when they got there, that same Jesus had turned snow white and said, I have conquered death, hell, and the grave. He stands now. John said, I saw him with a garment on. His hair was as white as the driven snow and a white garment down to his foot. What was he saying? The crimson worm turned white. I can't explain it, how red blood can take a blackened heart and turn it white as snow, but thank God it works. Something else I found out about it, when it's crushed, when they crush it, these worms, they're fragrant. They put off a sweet odor. Have you ever found anyone any sweeter than Jesus? Oh, bless his name. I know life can be hard. Sometimes there's a lot of situations that you don't want to be in and it's just hard to carry on. But yet, there's something about the presence of Christ when he's there. It's always fragrant. The Lord sweetens the worst days of our life and makes life worth living and makes eternity sweet. I don't care what you're going through tonight. Jesus is still in control. And when he passes by and you sense his fragrance, it's during the time that we are crushed that we understand just how precious that the Lord is. I said in my Sunday school class several weeks ago, yes, I go to Sunday school. I don't even teach and I go. I've got a great teacher, I really do. He's a wonderful Sunday school teacher. Boy, it's quiet right there. Maybe get over that speed bump. But man, I love going to, let me tell you, this is what you miss when you don't go to Sunday school. And he had taught that day about how we could have faith and how the Lord would get us through the worst of situations. And we got to the end, and one of our folks that they never speak up, our people from Rubyville, they know them. They're a precious couple, Dan and Anita Beasley. They're faithful to our church, great people, love the Lord. And Anita said, I have to say something before we dismiss class. She said, this week my cousin passed on and went to be with the Lord and said we were there when she passed. Said she had ALS, and she was part of the music program there at the church, as I understand it. Said one of the first things was she lost her voice and she couldn't sing, and that was hard. Said then she couldn't move her legs, and that was hard. She said, but through all of it, God had been merciful. For some reason, when she gets so that all of her other exterior parts of her body, her toes wouldn't wiggle, her legs wouldn't move. She could barely turn her head. For some reason, she could always get one hand up. Said they'd come in and try to encourage her, but said they'd say all kinds of things, you know. And in a little while, she'd have a tear stream down her cheek and she'd just raise her hand. So she's dying and said, we're gathered around and our heart is broken. Said, we're just absolutely crushed. And said, she just seemed for the first time, she seemed like she was so anxious, restless. And they're trying to figure out what she wants, and she can no longer communicate any way with them. She no longer could use any type of device to try to say what she wanted to say. And finally, they're standing around the bed, and Anita said, I know what she needs. So she spoke to another one of the relatives and said, I know what she needs. Said, take her arm, and I'll get this side. And all of a sudden, they raised her hands right straight up. They said the sweetest smile broke across her face as to say, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. I want to lift my hands to God and tell him how good that he is. He is greater than ALS. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than diabetes. He's greater than betrayal. He's greater than sorrow. He's greater than pain. He's greater than heartache. He's greater than trouble. He's greater than poverty. God's still good. And when we're crushed, we realize just how sweet that he is. Because suddenly we know he's the high priest that's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Not our infirmities, the feelings of our infirmities. Don't tell me that feelings don't have anything to do with it. The way that we feel touches Christ. I told you I was going to be short. I'll give you one more. I've got another 100. They found out that this worm was good for something else. The reason that most of these worms now are found in Mexico, and they harvest them. And do you know what they raise them for? Medicine. Healing. Thank God for the power of the blood that our Jesus still heals. He can do all things. I don't know why it happens the way that it happens. I don't sit around and blame God for things that don't go the way I pray and the way I think it ought to. But I tell you one thing, I've seen him heal enough now to know that we have every right to praise him for the healing that he gives. This week marks 1 year. 1 year this coming week. On Sunday morning, I felt the floor vibrate under me. Candy had just stepped away from my desk and stepped into our great room. In the middle of a carpeted room, she fell face first. Detached her nose. And had 2 brain bleeds. They flew her by helicopter up to Columbus, stayed in contact with me all the way. And they had a neurosurgeon on hand. The neurosurgeon was talking to me. The pilot and the medical team on the helicopter was talking to me. They were filling me in all the way on what they were doing. Boy, I remember when I started up that highway, I told my daughter, I said, I'm running to the house. I'm going to grab some things, and you stay here until the helicopter takes off. They'd already taken Candy out. She was unconscious. I lost count how long she was unconscious. But you tell me there's not power in the blood. I didn't know this. I didn't know this until it was over. 2 young people that grew up, Ron, that I had the privilege to pastor. I've watched them grow up, and they're great Christian young people. They were the first 2 to come through our doors. They worked for the medical team there. And when they come through the door, they could tell I was frantic. I was so frantic, I thought I was calling my daughter-in-law and I called Brian's wife. And I got a hold of Brian already, told him, you preach. Candy's fallen. We don't know what's going on. We're headed out. And they said... Now, Candy don't remember. She don't remember being in the house. She don't remember being in the ambulance. She remembers vaguely getting on the helicopter or while she was in flight, one or the other. But they said on the way down to the hospital, boy, I mean, she'd lost so much blood. It was unbelievable how much blood she'd lost. They even came to the house and cleaned up everything for me. And I didn't, Brian's wife and some of the kids from the church. Oh, glory. And after it was over, the little paramedic, she said, "Preacher, did I tell you what Candy said on the way to the hospital?" I said, "No." Said she looked at me and said, "Where am I?" And she said, "Miss Candy, you're in the ambulance. You, for some reason, you passed out. We don't know what happened." And Candy looked down and she was covered in blood. And she said, "I can't go to church looking like this." She said, "It'll be okay. I don't think you're going to make church today." And we got to the hospital and the neurosurgeon met me first. And he said, "We need to do surgery right away on her nose to take care of that. It had torn the cartilage all the way back down to the top of her gums," and said, "We need to do that right away." Said, "But we've got to take care of this brain bleed." And they worked and they were wonderful. And they did everything they know to do and they finally took her in. Did about a four-hour surgery. By the way, I thank God for them. They did a wonderful job. But on Mother's Day, of her own accord, I dropped her off at the church and got out on the other side, and she took me by the arm, and I walked her into the church. Yeah. That's the healing power of the Lord. If you see her standing when nobody else is standing, you know why. She promised God, "Lord, you touch me and I'm never going to stop praising you for what you did." And on, that's right. That's exactly right. Bless you, sweetheart. I'm telling you, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. And on that Sunday night, she could barely walk. Sunday morning or Sunday night service when we went in. And the first thing that she did, Annette, somebody said, "Can Candy sing?" And she said, "Oh, cow, I'm so weak." And I said, "You remember what you promised God." And she got up with Ted and Marty, and you know what she sang? "I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me." Glory to God. I wonder, is there anybody here tonight that God has ever healed you? I mean, you know it was the power of God that raised you up from where you were at. And by all rights, you shouldn't be here tonight. But God had the final say. And the Lord said, "I'm not through with you yet." And you're here tonight because God in his mercy and his grace said, "There's power in my blood. By his stripes, we are healed." Who's been healed? Who's been healed? Who's been healed? Who's been healed? Todd, what did the Lord heal you from? Leukemia? Praise God. Praise God. Mark, what did the Lord heal you from? Praise God. Praise God. Ted, what did the Lord heal you from? Praise God. How many feet did you fall? 18 feet. The Lord spared his life and healed him. Jody, what did the Lord heal you from? Cancer. Praise God. Dave, what did the Lord heal you from? Cirrhosis of the liver. Liver failure. Praise God. Dave Hill, what did the Lord heal you from? Praise God. Praise God. Al, what did the Lord heal you from? God bless you. Sister, don't want to heal you from. From
I'm 88 years old.
Praise God. Sis, what do you hear you from? From cancer, glory to God. Sis, what are you from? Praise God, glory to God. Bless you, folks. Well, glory to God. Run.
I was born a complete cripple, and the doctors told my mom and dad, if I lived, I'd be a cripple all my life. 68 years old, just a few days, and I've been able to walk all my life.
Well, praise God. Glory to God. Sis, God bless you.
2016, I was diagnosed with stage 4
Hodgkin
lymphoma. Today I'm cancer free.
Oh, hey, listen, do you hear it? Do you hear it? Jesus has beaten the living daylights out of the devil. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, there's no need to be discouraged. He has us in his hands, and he's taking care of us.